This is the United We Stand podcast, recorded at Old Trafford around the Premier League game against Sheffield United. This podcast is brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Improve Easy are trying to help Manchester United fans improve the energy in their homes. That can mean free solar panels, free boilers, and other cost-saving measures. There's government grants available. Please do see if you qualify. Just text the word EASY, E-A-S-Y, to 60777 to see if you qualify. That's text the word EASY, 60777. Improve Easy, trying to help Reds.
Latest United We Stand, £3. United We Stand, latest issue. £3, United We Stand, latest issue. Right, so we're joined by Josh, who's just come over from selling the mag. What do you think the store's going to be today?
Brutal honesty. I don't think we've got enough service going up forward. I don't think there's no cohesiveness. I'd say maybe a 1-0, 2-0, if I'm honest.
What did you make of Sunday?
Did deserve it, obviously. I think it's every right that, you know, like I say, we don't deserve going to the final, but you know, we're there now and we've got to actually put the effort in, work hard, and you know, hopefully we can pull a result, hopefully.
Yeah, I think everyone's just looking towards the FA Cup final now, really, because we've got these couple of games, I mean, today and Saturday. I think if they go badly for Ten Hag, he's in a lot of trouble.
I think he's still in trouble either way. I think there's enough evidence throughout the season where his decision making, his substitutions, his reasoning for even lineups, his starting lineups. Like for me, if I see Rashford starting today, I don't understand it. Like, I think not even now, but even for the past, like, maybe even when he had a good season last season, the ethic is still not there and the effort's still not there. So it's like, I can see why people would want him to go, but, you know, we've still got to, if he can get a trophy by the end of the season, then Ineos have got to give him another year or, you know, see how it goes from there.
Well, would you stick with Ten Hag if you had the choice in the summer?
I think I would, yes. Yeah. But the upside to that is that, there's not really anyone on the market who I would have in. I think Zidane's brings too much traction, which we already have either way. And I think, you know, if we're sticking with Eric, he's brought in youth. You know, the academy's going up, you know, it's brewing. I think it's just giving him time and just seeing, you know, give him another, you know, let him have his contract and not sack him after 2 years, you know what I mean, or a year and a half. So, you know, I'd say give him time, definitely.
Right, cheers. Taking the lead. Can't really believe I'm saying this, but it's Manchester United 0, Sheffield United 1. Arnani's just gifted them a goal, and United are behind once again at home. And if it stays like this, it's going to turn very hostile in here tonight. You can already hear the boos now. Not good. Sheffield United just scored again. What have you made of that? What have you just made of that?
That's it's just inevitable, isn't it? We just can't defend.
No.
It's been the same thing against Coventry, against every team we played this season. How can you concede?
We're just praying for VAR to intervene now.
Right, so as finished, Manchester United 4, Sheffield United 2 with Ant Shaw and Stu Edwards. Same thing, isn't it, at this point every week?
Yeah, I mean, what was it? I think we're on 32 back fours for the season now. I don't want to make excuses for the team manager because it wasn't a good performance again. I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we said it was. But at the same time as well, I think we'd be a bit daft to ignore some of the mitigations around some of these performances, but I'm personally, you know, still undecided. I can't, you know, I'd like to understand who's available for United to be able to make a call, but at the moment it's not really good, is it?
No, what do you make of that, Steve?
I told you before, match, didn't I?
You did. Yeah, but we won. I'm trying to remain.
What did he say?
You said we'd get beat.
I don't think it's we'd get beat. I just said it would be, we know what to expect, and I think I'm stood here.
Right.
And been proved correct.
Is there anything more to add or not?
Do you want me to add something else?
If you could,
how long do we need to do?
Oh.
Well, short of obviously annoying Andy and swearing a lot, which I won't do, Andy, don't worry. But, and said that if that's the bar, scraping through and turning a 2-2 or a 2-1 into a 4-2 against a team who have conceded, well, I don't know, it'll be minus 60 goal difference or something, Sheffield United.
Is that right?
I think so.
60.
Just check. Just hang on a minute, listeners.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are, but yeah. Again, that team, I don't know. I'm running out of things to say.
They're exactly the minus 59 after
go.
The game.
So there you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And we're plus one now, are we? So there's probably three or four for me in that starting lineup tonight who I won't want to be there come the summer.
Who?
Is that do I need to say that?
Some people might not be as informed as you, Stuart.
I think okay. So just starting with that though, before we go into like individuals, I did think he missed an opportunity tonight to freshen up the team a bit. You know, I don't know what he saw in Anthony's cameo versus Coventry that got him a start over Diallo. And there's plenty of fans that have been calling for that for maybe 6 to 8 weeks, but I think that was a bit premature. I think tonight they've got a genuine gripe where I feel like he should have, you know, got the opportunity over him. I think, you know, we've got an issue still with Casemiro at centre-half. Doesn't look natural at all to me. When we have the ball, passing it across the back four maybe, but as soon as he has to chase back, you know, you can see that positionally he's not necessarily all there. I'd have to see the goals back to see what his role was, especially in that second one.
Shocking.
But my point stands that I do think that he's missed. He's sort of like doing a bit too much the same week to week, not really ripping it up and, you know, maybe trying something new. I think that's some of the things that can be put at his door, because, you know, we keep trying the same thing. We keep shipping goals, you know, since the first home game of the season against Wolves. I've noticed a big gap in our midfield, you know, that's not changed all season. So there's these kind of things where I feel like there's some justified criticism of him. But again, you know, we'll go on to what Stuart's saying about individuals. But I think there is still some mitigation around some of the players we have available, because, again, I'm not sure if it's a Premier League record, but surely there can't be a team ever that's ever had 32 back fours in a season. I'm not having it.
Well, the thing is, I don't understand that, because we went out of Europe early this season. We're playing one game a week and they constantly look tired.
Yeah, and just to come on to that before I let Stuart chime in here, because I know he's got a lot to say about certain players, but I don't think United are a serious club in that regard. So, for example, at the start of the season, you know, Casemiro was looking unfit. What I've seen as the season progressed is Casemiro staying in Brazil for, you know, various times. I think there was a point where he wasn't even injured, where he stayed in Brazil an extra 4 days and missed a midweek game.
Yep.
Martinez hardly played, went on international duty with Argentina when he'd not played for us for a month. You know, these type of things now, that's not the actions of a serious club. And, you know, if we want to get our players back on the pitch fit, you know, we need to have, you know, ultra professionalism, because, you know, that kind of stuff's just absolutely amateur. I don't know of a single United fan that before Martinez's second injury thought it was a good idea for him to go on international duty before he'd even played for us. So those type of things, you know, Ferguson would give them time off when it was warranted or when it was earned, you know, but United are just giving time off when they've not earned the wages all season, they've hardly played all season, when they played, they've played pretty crap all season, and, you know, these are not the things of a serious club.
So the feeling, or sorry, but you mentioned the looking tired aspect. There's fatigue, and there's fatigue. I think the only player who's got any justification this season of being fatigued is the player who never ever gets taken off. Our captain.
I don't know.
Well, but Bruno runs around a lot of the time. I'm not going to stand here and criticise him, because he scored tonight, he's made one, and he does more than anybody, but he still runs around in a team wasting a lot of energy every game and plays 95 minutes every week. So fatigue comes with playing lots of games, but there's also attitude, mental attitude, and 20-30% of that can be improved by having the right attitude, and that's what's missing with a lot of our players. The four players I've mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, for me, stand out like a sore thumb. We've already mentioned one, Casemiro. I don't care where he's playing, his legs have gone. End of story, his legs have gone. He was at his best 5 years ago. We've paid 60 million for someone who had a decent first season, but now is seriously lagging behind what's required. Next to him, Wan-Bissaka. So Casemiro's legs have gone. Wan-Bissaka's head's gone. I don't think it's ever been ringing. He came back, was it last season, and had that running before the World Cup, was it? And did quite well. In front of them two, Eriksen, legs have gone. That's three. Fourth one, not his fault. He was 80 million. Ten Hag signing. Antony, not good enough. So those four in the starting lineup shouldn't be at Manchester United. Certainly playing the amount of games they're playing next season.
I think with Casemiro as well, I think it's far more worrying for him and maybe Rashford's form this season as well, because they are the players that are supposed to win us football matches. Yeah. You know?
Well, I didn't want to talk about Rashford, but you've mentioned him now.
If you pay a player 300k a week, you know, your return has got to be 35 to 40 games at a, you know, touching world class standard, really. Yeah. And, you know, like City get from De Bruyne, like Liverpool get from Salah, you know, that kind of thing. It's
Effort.
Yeah, the effort.
And the passion, which, you know, we can speak about this, and I didn't want to speak about Rashford because, again, he's on top of my summer transfer list, but he's not played tonight, but again, we're still talking about
him. Lots of words to do on transfer line.
Yeah.
And even that, I'm not sure who would buy him. That's the problem you've got. Yeah. With a lot of these players, I mean, Antony, for example, another example, of someone that's on wages that are probably a bit too high, you know, it's easy to say, I'll sell these players, but then...
No, I agree.
He's absolutely no chance. I don't think there's any chance in hell that United are losing Antony this year, because his stock is absolutely rock bottom.
20 million.
Yeah. No, but his stock is rock bottom.
Yeah.
Even if they pay a fee of something like 20 million, nobody will touch those wages. So you end up with, we'll probably lose him for 10 million in, you know, tops. So there's absolutely no chance that United are getting rid of Antony.
Should have kept Dan James then, is what we're saying.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, yeah.
Well, that's a different position, but yeah.
I think that was a big moment in United, actually, for the United,
this season.
Yeah. I mean, Fred, we weren't good enough to get rid of him. You know, I completely understand the things around him not being, you know, the best player, you know, not being the long-term answer. But United weren't good enough. They didn't have the energy in midfield to get rid of Fred. You know, I'd have probably, especially with Maynou, the type of player he is, I'd have probably got rid of someone like Eriksen before.
Or even Amrabat, you saw that on Sunday. Again, I don't know what he adds to the team at all.
I've no idea. From day one, what he's added to the team. He's played at left back, which wasn't his fault. He's had to play at left back, didn't he, early on in the season. But I've never understood him. I've not seen him that much before he joined United, if I'm being honest. But again, just a panic buy. Yeah. It makes you wonder he's making these decisions.
But we didn't need to lose. I mean, I don't even think we gained much money from selling Fred and loaning Amrabat, did we?
No, it's 15 million Fred.
Yeah. I think we paid something like a loan fee for Amrabat as well. That was a certain amount. So it just made absolutely no sense.
Fred was very similar to the Herrera situation. Loved the club, you know, was happy to play, you know, not 25 games a season or whatever, you know, would die for the club, loved it, passionate, gave his all. Well, yeah, it wasn't perfect every week, but gave options and just again, much better than what we've had in midfield for the...
We wouldn't have shipped the goals with that.
Majority of this season since he's left.
Feel like you're missing out because it seems everyone else is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? Cha-ching, it's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling, well, just about anything, football programmes to trainers, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so that you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Full of industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in designing or coding. And thanks to the award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. What's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. It's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today, This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/united, all in lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/united to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/united.
So I feel like I'm having a deja vu, and we've had this conversation two or three times in the last 5 or 6 years about who needs to move on, but then obviously you can't just get rid of six players because then you need to buy 10.
I think the first surgery for me is the top earners, because you know, we've obviously got Sancho, we've got Rashford, we've got Casemiro, we've got Varane, and the return we're getting on those players is just, I mean, if you have five players earning like 250, 300k a week, you should automatically like be pushing for top four easily.
Well, you shouldn't be hovering around zero goal difference, should you?
Which is what we are doing. It's been the same problems, you know. Sanchez, Di Maria, Depay, I could go on. Since Ferguson's retired, Falcao, United have just kept on making these bad signings that have had no future to them at all.
The problem is as well for Højlund is that he clearly needs some guidance of again, you've just mentioned a couple of some experienced strikers, you know. I don't want to stand here and say names. Lewandowski springs to mind. Someone like that who'd be happy coming to United and being you know, I suppose the main striker, and for the likes of Højlund to learn off, because he looks a bit of a lost soul at the moment, Højlund. I know he scored tonight, but he needs that experience around him.
I hope he's not watching Nicholas Jackson videos.
Well, there is that.
can I just mention Maguire as well?
Go for it.
God, that is... I genuinely believe he's a credit to the club, me, and that's without even going into his ability. You know, he's come back from the amount of shit, probably the most shit I've ever seen a United player get from his own support. Yeah. You know, he's come back ultra professional. You know, you really do see a player there that does everything right in terms of professionalism. And I'm hoping some of the other players will learn from that, because he really, really has come back, hasn't he? And I hope he gets his cup final start, because I think he deserves that.
Had the captaincy took off him as well, to boot, you know, which is that must be the worst thing ever, at any level really. But at one of the biggest clubs in the world, you're captain, and then the next minute you're being literally hounded out.
That was probably one of the only good things about Sunday.
Yeah, he was good, weren't he?
Right. Yeah. We've got Burnley on the weekend.
Yeah, I did want to mention one more thing. Actually, is Bruno Fernandes Manchester United's best ever to penalty taker? I think he is.
No.
Who's better?
Dennis Irwin.
Van Nistelrooy.
Well, should we go into conversion rates? Because I've looked into this.
I'll come back to you Saturday.
Right. No, Bruno Fernandes has now got the best conversion rate.
Is that right?
Manchester United.
Who's second? Who was?
I think it's Cantona. He missed two out of like 18, I think it was. So,
different era, though. It's easier now.
Yeah, but I genuinely think that that's an incredible, you know, an underrated asset that we've got there, because he never misses them, does he?
What, rarely.
Has he missed any?
He missed a few, but that was when we started pissing about.
He missed one
with
of
different
the
takers,
score one then last season.
He did that thing where, you know, he used to do that run up as
skip.
Well.
Yeah, he put it one over the bar against Villa at home.
That was it, yeah.
And there was one in COVID.
Did he put one wide?
Yeah, there was one during COVID with no supporters when he missed as well. Right. But I like his technique as well, and I think when he did have that blip, and I think he missed a couple in quick succession, I think he did change his style a little bit. He stopped doing that hop, you know, and now he's got a completely different style again, and he's netting them all the time.
Well, thanks for screwing us over by doing your homework on the penalty takers.
Yeah. Dennis Irwin.
So is there anything else?
He was a fullback. So strictly speaking, if Cantona and Bruno are forward players. If you're doing it on the best ever penalty taker, I think I win.
Is there anything else you want to add before we can go home or not?
No, I've got no more information.
It didn't rain tonight.
That's good. Yeah. That's
thanks to everyone who's called by to say hello. And yeah,
it was a nice night tonight.
It was.
To sell magazine.
Yeah, a bit chilly, but it was dry, so we look forward to Burnley, who are going to come and probably give us a much harder game, I would have thought, on Saturday.
Yeah. All right then.
Cheers.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
So that's it for this podcast. Well, nearly. The Academy has been a big success for Manchester United this season. The under-18s won their league. That's a team who beat Manchester City in the Premier League final. United knocked out teams like Arsenal along the way. And that was on Tuesday at Lee Sports Village. Ethan Wheatley scored 2 goals. And then a day later became the 250th player from Manchester United's academy to play first team football. So congratulations there. The team have had some great results. They beat Liverpool 9-1 away recently. And I went into Carrington for an Access All Areas article for The Athletic. 10,000 words. It's huge. 2-parter, which was published on Monday and Tuesday. And I spoke to loads of people there. I made 30 pages of notes. And this was just a little chat I had with a couple of the players, starting with Ruben Curley. Ruben's is a Manchester lad. And he played well in the final the other night. He had a really good shot on goal early on. And just to give you a flavour of the type of lads who are coming through.
Tell us about the when you joined.
So joined age 5 or 6, I think it was.
Yeah.
Came through the development centres all the way up to the Cliff and then up to Carrington.
Okay.
So yeah, been there since I was young.
You had some ups and downs?
Yeah. I had an ACL injury. Started my first year of scholar, out for a year with that.
Yeah. And anything else?
A few more injuries actually before that. Did my ankle, got a stress fracture in my back, about under 15. So altogether, I think I missed a good 2 years of football.
Mentally, that must be tough.
Yeah, very tough, challenging. Yeah, just had to build up a lot of resilience and go through quite a bit of stuff just to get back to where I am. But I think it's helped me as a player and a person.
What type of footballer are you?
Midfielder.
What type of midfielder?
Obviously, got to do the basics, but I try to base myself off like elegance, final third, final pass, goals.
Do you enjoy coming here each day?
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
Why?
I feel like I get better every day and facilities are unbelievable and I feel like I can just maximise my potential here.
Tell us your story. And name? Full name?
Tom Miles, under 18 goalkeeper. I got scouted on my first ever game for my local team. And then I've been at United ever since.
First ever game?
First ever game, yeah.
How old are you?
6 years old.
Your first ever game, age 6?
Yeah.
Who scouted you?
A guy called Colin.
For who?
I was playing for Lost the Call.
Yeah?
And, I scored. And then they just came to my mum and dad after the game and they said...
United did?
Yeah, do you fancy coming down?
But you were in net?
Yeah, in net, yeah. And I scored from my own net.
Right. So you were 6?
6,
so
yeah.
What was your career like? Pre-6, because you must have been decent.
To be fair, I just used to play football with my mates in the garden all the time, just practice, and yeah.
And then you've been here since you were 6?
Been here since I was 6, yeah.
Based in Preston, driving down all the time?
Yeah, until I started my scholarship, and then I moved to Diggs.
Okay, how did Diggs?
Fine, yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did you do in GCSEs?
Very good, actually, yeah. I passed everything, got 7s, 8s, 9s.
Yeah, and have you carried on studying beyond that?
Yeah, I've done a BTEC in marketing.
Right.
And at college that we go to.
Favourite Preston North End moment as a fan?
Oof. When we got promoted in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, Swindon, Wembley, 4-0.
You go with your mates?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are the goalkeepers like here, the goalkeeping coaches like?
A pleasure to work with.
Yeah.
I think we've got quite a tight group, and especially with like the first team goalkeepers as well. Like we all just get on so well, and
yeah,
it's a very tight group.
Good to talk to them, lads. So that's it for this podcast. And again, brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Free solar panels, free boilers, and free insulation. You can get all, just text the word EASY, EASY, to 60777 to see if you qualify and you can save money on your energy bills. We're also working on the next United We Stand. It's out against Arsenal. We'll do this one. We'll probably do a summer special after winning the FA Cup. Well, let's see. So if your subscription has run out, should I say, you might want to renew it. Loads run out on the last issue. So make sure you do it in good time. Certainly by the end of next week, and I'll put the cover out. Got some really nice interviews in there as well. And cheers to everyone who bought the mag. The mag's going well, I'm pleased to say. So nice one. Print survives and print thrives. Here's to beating Burnley at the weekend. Goodbye.